You're listening to The Startup with Monique LeRae, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique LeRae. I'm Monique LeRae. Welcome back to a fresh episode. This is a little episode check-in, checking in with an author, an amazing author. But I want to give you guys an update. I am wearing some test swag for the pandemic project. That's right. We got some new totes. We've got some new ski hats. So we will be bringing these items to Sundance as well as around the world. So at the Pandemic Project documentary, don't worry, it's not political. It's just a time capsule about wonderful, beautiful people around America. But today is about authors and one in particular that I really love. Marcy B is in the building. Hi, Marcy. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for making time on a Sunday. So why don't we go full screen? Marcy's going to tell the listeners and viewers who she is and what's going on with her book series.
I'm Marcy Belaski, and I am a romance thriller suspense writer. I have a 4-book series, the Vengeance series. Two of the books are out, Deception and Consequences and Seduction and Revenge. The third book, Nightmares and Premonitions, is almost ready to come out. I'm just waiting. Like every day, I'm thinking my publisher is going to call and say, it went. So then the fourth book is a prequel. So it will be a while before that one's out. But 4-book series, romance, suspense. That's what I've been doing.
I love it. And so, you know what? It's funny because you meet a few people on your journey that just pop, and everything Marcy has sent me or any correspondence or interaction has been just, she pops and her books pop. And I know in my heart, Deception and Consequences, which I am delving into, you guys, I'm invested in these characters, and all her beautiful books will be top sellers. And I can see these on the screens, Marcy. But so let's get into it. Let's talk about, you know, some of the, without, you know, you can look on the back of it. It's not a spoiler, but some of these characters, where did you get Aria from? Where'd you get Mac from? You know, who is Simon in your life? Or did you just wake up one day and have inspiration? I mean, how does it work for you?
I really do spend a lot of time creating my characters. And I create the characters before I get too invested in the plot, because I want the characters to, I want the character first, and then I want the character to match the journey. All right. And with Aria, I wanted Aria to be an ordinary woman. She just starts the book. She's every day she gets up, she goes to work like everybody else, nothing special. And then all of a sudden, boom, the world drops out from under her. She finds out there's this deep, dark family secret. There's been all kinds of, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but
shenanigans.
Yeah. In a devious way. And her family is in real peril, and it's really kind of up to her to straighten things out. And with each encounter, I wanted her to become stronger. I wanted her to be an empowered woman. And because I wanted her love affair with Mac to be one that was genuinely love and passion and a connection, okay? Not just about all the good stuff. I wanted them to really connect on another level. And I wanted her to not need him at all. She needs him in the beginning, but I don't want her at the end to need him at all. And I think that we see this growth in Aria. And that's really what I was trying to show, is that there's a difference when you're in a relationship and you need someone, it's different than wanting them. And when Mac realizes that Aria wants him instead of needs him, he knows his true love.
Yeah, you know, you're speaking right to the heart of the masculine and feminine energy, and you're speaking to females that are empowered. I just had this conversation with a male suitor, potential male suitor, and it was that we power women, us women, I hate that we have to put power in front of women, but us ladies with dreams, right. You know, you always say, oh, yeah. I'm from a small farm town, but it's like, no, you're from where you're supposed to be and you're you, right? So I sometimes we need to tap in and plug in and get that male. We need a charge too. Like us go-getters are not unhuman and we need some support. So I love that you gave her that, but you also gave her a choice and how that support might show up.
Right. And you talked about the two men. I really wanted Simon to be genuinely conflicted because he's a bad guy. I mean, he's bad. I mean, but for as despicable and smarmy as he is, we like him a little bit, you know, because he doesn't want to do all the bad things that he does. He feels like he has to. And Arya's kind of stuck in the middle, and we kind of feel sorry for him a little bit. But Mac had to be different. Mac had to be her one true love. Mac had to be the one that was waiting to find her, that she was waiting to find. And he was kind of the workaholic, didn't really date, you know, the good looking guy that once he gets a haircut and a shave, everybody's like, ooh. You know, he's just the one, who that I guess you could say fills her heart.
Yes. Shows up, fills her heart, steps into mm-hmm. that.
Shows up.
Right. I mean, shows up.
Yep.
We need you just to show up, guys. We don't need you to backflip and keep up. We just want you to show up with some intention and a plan and thoughtfulness. And wow, this could really take some air out of the tires for Marcy tonight. Why don't I do this for her? I see she's grinding and she's the baddest, right? Or hey, Monique might want a back massage tonight because she's been on 85 flights in the last month. That might be nice. Perhaps. That's romance to me. Like thinking of what I might
need. When they anticipate what you need before you say what you need, or maybe even before you know what you need. See, that's the connection I tried to make with Mac and Arya, is that he's there instinctively. And then once she picks up on the fact that he's there instinctively, then it's reciprocated. She is also there for him. So I wanted that to be, nobody's given more than the other. Right?
Yeah.
Nobody's doing more. Nobody's loving more. Nobody's wanting more. It's a true, honest relationship where they're both invested deeply, but in the same amount.
Yeah, that's refreshing.
That never happens. This is fiction. That never happens. This is fiction.
Well, art imitates life. Hopefully somewhere we're putting it out there that this will imitate. Maybe this will inspire,
in the world.
Fellas, they got to listen to what we're saying. And I remember there's an episode on Sex and the City, and Samantha says, first come the gays, then come the girls, then come the industry. And I think what she means by that, being a lover of gays, but not because it's popular, but just always loving their energy. I understood that they stood in the crossroads of understanding masculine energy and female energy. And they were an advocate for people, for both. And they gave women a soft place to land. They didn't want to. Yeah. But a beautiful, a hard task, but what a beautiful point of view. They can see where the woman's coming from, make sure she's looking pretty and feeling sexy for her man, also finding her man attractive, however. So you have to, put guardrails there, but it's really great to hear it from you. So I'm excited. I think let's delve into where you see your series going next. We are manifesting for Q1 of 2025. We're at the end of 2024. Where is your book series going? Marcy, where are we going?
This is book two.
Oh! Yes.
It's been out for a couple of... Yeah. They know each other pretty well now.
Revenge.
Seduction and revenge.
Seduction and revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Woo,
it gets really they in the second book they just really they battle the forces that be. I mean nothing goes right. And the in the third book it it does end, the story does end at the end of the third book because the fourth book is a prequel. So all these little things that you're kind of wondering about, like, what's going on? Like, I want to know more about Cece. She's the family matriarch. She's so, I think Cece is very interesting.
And a lot of people desire her stamp of approval in many families, right?
Mm-hmm. And so the fourth book will go back and it will start when Cece's about 20. Cece and Franklin are starting their love affair. And it shows how that affair was really just doomed from the start. You know, it's passionate. It's wonderful. And then everything starts unraveling. And when it starts unraveling in book four, that's how you start to see how all of this stuff that Arya is dealing with happened.
You know, your mind is so beautiful. And let's just speak real quick for a couple minutes. What really sustained you, right? Where you can open this beautiful creative closet of yours and write this art and offer this to the world. Like, give us the lay of the land. You have supportive family and friends, obviously, because you just ooze
yes.
creativity.
Absolutely.
So what do people need when they're doing this process?
I tell you, the writing for me was just easy peasy because it was like downloading in my head the entire time. And I never wanted to stop. I mean, I just wanted to keep writing and writing and writing. And in fact, I was so Deception and Consequences, book one was supposed to be a standalone. And I loved my characters so much that in the last pages, I changed the ending. I mean, I'm literally just writing the last pages and I changed the ending because I couldn't give them up. I couldn't. I'm like, they've got more to do. Like they have a bigger life. They have a bigger path. And so for me, it was just constant writing. But where that inspiration comes from, I'm not exactly sure because I never saw myself as a fiction writer. I never saw myself as a romance writer. But now I can't see myself writing or doing anything different. You know, I mean, yeah. It's just and my characters. I think what happened with me with this series is taking the time and creating the characters first, because then the story, I didn't even have the story. Like I didn't even know what was going to happen part of the time. And I just kept writing and writing and writing. But when you have great characters, you know what they're going to say, you know what they think, you know what they're going to do, you know how they're going to interact with everybody. So you can fly by the seat of your pants and just type it that way. You know?
Well said.
I wouldn't recommend it for everybody.
No, and well said and well received, because it sounds like you freed yourself. You gave yourself the best possible chance for creativity by identifying who are the playing characters. Now I get to cook up the cake. Like, you got the ingredients and now mama can make the cake, right? So I like that
absolutely.
Yeah. I like that you did that. And also in life too, it's good to be a little free. And that's what I think, like, good authors, it sounds like you have a support system and you're able to be a little free and be loose about it and just get into it. And can you talk to some aspiring authors out there? What surroundings, what setting, what support system should they be seeking or setting to really bring out the best?
Absolutely. I just got back from a trip to my alma mater, Western Illinois University, and I spoke with the creative writing class and I told them, I said, you already have the skills to write. The writing will not be the difficult part. The difficult part is putting yourself out there every darn day, because think of it this way. I told him, I said, before today, if you're scrolling through Amazon and you're looking for a book in my genre, you're going to go right past my book because you don't know me. You don't know anything about me. But now that I've come and visited your class and you've heard me talk, you know, then maybe you're going, oh yeah, I may try that book, because if nobody knows you, they're not going to take a risk, you know, and buy your book. They may be interested in it, but there's so many choices. So my advice to young writers is exactly what my publisher told me after I signed my contract. She said, now the hard work begins. And I thought she was crazy, but she said, now the hard work begins. And she was right, because it's constant, constant just putting, and I say this, you know, you got to put yourself out there every damn day. You just got to do it every day. Do something to get your name somewhere that it wasn't before.
I love that. Well, listen, Marcy, you're coming back for sure. This was a quick author check-in with Marcy B. Marcy, real quick plug where we can pick it up for our pre-Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa shopping.
My website is marcyb.net, and all my social links are on there. You can go to Amazon, you can go barnesandnoble.com, walmart.com. It's everywhere. You can get it anywhere. Please write a review if you buy it.
Love, love, love. Good seeing your smiley face. Be well. Let's chat soon. Very soon. We're going to chat again soon. You guys.
Okay.
Marcy B. All right. Well, we started today. See you guys next week. Be good to each other. Check out my film. Ciao.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.